the next 30 minutes, I will put my company hat on and tell you a little bit about EMIT, which is the infrastructure for real-time infrared image generation. Two slides about our company, because most people don't know what MBDA missile system is. It's 12,000 people working for MBDA in the four main European countries, France, UK, Italy, and Germany. And what we are doing, okay, as the name says, missile systems, we are building missiles from small to large and complete ground-based air defense systems. So here a little bit history. I already told you in the welcome, I'm nearly since 20 years in the ticket business, and I gave several talks about my private open source projects, and I also gave two talks talking about things we have done at the company. The first talk was in 2002, where I talked a little bit about image, the image extension, the several formats I put into the image extension, lots of, let's say, older formats for SGI, Sun, and stuff like this. And in 2008, I gave a little talk about EMIT already, where we started with the development. And the talk was called Using TCL for Simulation and Visualization. I will now go into a little bit physics for the moment, but not too deep, just to tell you, okay, what's the difference between, let's say, what we see with our eyes in the visible band, and what's the difference to the infrared spectrum. In the visible domain you see here, that's what we call or know from cameras and from the monitors. We have the RGB range, and adjacent to the visible band is a so-called infrared band, which we subdivide into three: near, medium, and far infrared. And the important thing to know, in the visible domain, nearly every effect or what you see or what comes to your eyes or the camera is based on reflection. So if you are in a dark room, switch on the light, you see something. If it's you turn off the light, you don't see anything. In the infrared domain, and that's not linear, but slight range, nearly everything is built on emission instead of reflection. And let's say physics behind that is described by the Planck law, which is shown here. And this, you see, depends on the temperature. And here are some typical, let's say, temperatures, and it's visualized how the spectral radiance, that is the energy which comes or arrives at your eyes or at the sensor, you see in the typical temperature range where we are now, 300 Kelvin, which is 27 degrees Celsius, you don't have any emission in the visible band. So you don't, if it's dark, you don't see anything. And solids, or which are as more temperature solids have, so you have, for example, 1,000 K to 3,000 Kelvin, then also the emission is visible in the with your eyes in the visible domain. That's why you see, for example, at dark, if you have a fire or glowing steel, you see it. That's due to the high temperatures. And also important is, let's say here, this curve around 5,700 degrees Kelvin, that's the temperature of the sun surface. And here you see that the evolution did a good job, because the maximum of this curve is exactly in the RGB range, so what we see with our eyes. Here are some examples. So why do we use infrared sensors? Because you can detect targets or things which you would not see or very barely see in the visible domain because of the temperature differences. Here you see the people walking quite well, while in the visible domain you don't see it. And in the infrared, the transparency is quite different to what you are used to seeing with your eyes. So such a thin plastic is invisible in the visible domain, but you can see through in the infrared domain. On the other side, windows, which are transparent in the visible domain, are typically very low transparent in the infrared domain. So what is EMIT? I already told you, it's a modular software library which we developed to render images, synthetic images, in the infrared domain. And the core module of the whole system is written in C++ and with lots of GLSL shaders which are running on the graphics card. But EMIT also makes heavy use of TCL for different purposes, for the development, building, maintenance, and also for the usage. Before going into detail where we are using TCL in the software product, I will show you some use cases. So we typically use it for a so-called system simulation, which with which we verificate the simulation of our missiles. And we are also using it for image processing and machine learning purposes, for generating synthetic training data. So here is a use case for software in the loop. EMIT can also render in the visible domain, not only in the infrared domain. And this is for a low-cost missile, which only has a normal sensor in the visible domain. And we have all these special effects like fire, smoke, etc., pp. And we, as we develop it ourselves, we can also, we manage to make a so-called simulation for rolling shutter sensors, which are the cheap sensors, which only read out the sensor or the pixels line by line. And if you have, fast rotations, you get these effects. Here you see two, do you see the mouse? Yeah, here you see two real images of a rotating ventilator and the same effect simulated with our software. The highest range of simulation is the so-called hardware in the loop, where we have a five-axis motion table. So this piece of hardware, it's about 6 meters long and 3 meters high. So just to imagine how large it is. And here you see on the outer axis, there's a collimator and a so-called infrared projector, which projects the thermal images we render with EMIT onto the sensor. And the sensor you see here on the right side is mounted inside onto the three axis, which also stimulate the three rotatory degrees. So you have here the real hardware, which is typically flying in the missile itself. So that's a, let's say, highest degree of simulation we can reach currently. Here we have a little bit of the workflow. In principle, let's say IR, image generation is very similar to the typical visualization or 3D computer graphics, but we need three additional steps because, as I said, in infrared, the emissivity is the most important part, and therefore we need to have to know the temperature of each object in the scene. So we have a high-end atmospheric modeling simulation, which is built on a standard program called Motran. Then we have two different thermal simulations where we calculate the temperatures either of synthetic players like tanks or trucks and trains and stuff like this. And we need to calculate the temperature of the, let's say, terrain surface. And here we are using similar models, simulation models, which are also used in climate research, community land model. Maybe someone has heard about that. Here we can calculate the temperatures of the terrain surface. And what we also need to know is, let's say for each texture or for each texel, we need to know which material is behind it, so we can know how is the temperature at each pixel. The other workflow is similar to, let's say, normal standard visualization, except, let's say, in the rendering phase, we have our own shaders which are doing the IR calculations instead of the normal, let's say, visual calculations. Here we have a rough overview of the architecture. Let's say the 3D graphics is built on OpenSceneGraph, which is an open source 3D library. On top of that, we have implemented what we call the Emit Core. That's also a whole bunch of C++ classes doing all the IR-specific stuff. And we have our internal, what we call legacy interfaces, the Emit programming interface and the Emit Direct interface, which we are using for several purposes. Let's say this one, the Emit programming interface, is a very easy to use interface, which is used by the colleagues doing the missile simulations. With the Emit Direct interface, you also have access to the underlying OpenSceneGraph data structure, and this is used, for example, for our graphical user interface. Besides that, we also have open interfaces based on open standards. One is a simulation interface, Franck already mentioned HLA, which is a standard for distributed simulation we support. And the other one is the SIGGI interface, which is an open standard for driving image generators. And the system is running on Windows and Linux and also inside of a container. And here we now start with the TickleTK stuff. All these two legacy interfaces have scripting interfaces which are based on SWIG. I show this in the next slide. So the EPE interface is natively a C++ interface, but it's written in a way so you can also supply a C interface and build on the C++ interface. We generate with SWIG both a TCL and a Python interface, if I are allowed to spell this name in a TCL conference. And let's say the different interfaces are used for different purposes. The C++ interface is used for the use cases I already mentioned, software in the loop, hardware in the loop. You can call Emit from MATLAB Simulink via the C++ interface. The C interface is for, let's say, old simulations we still have in our company based on Fortran, for example. The TCL interface is mainly used for testing prototypes, and Python interface is used for machine learning purposes. The Emit Direct interface also is a C++ interface, and this is wrapped with SWIG for TCL. And we also have a, let's say, still higher level Tickle interface to generate scenarios via script. So our colleagues, which are not Tickle specialists or other stuff, they more or less can write very simple scripts, which they think it's kind of macro, but it's under the hood, it's just a Tickle script. And on the right side, you see so how such a scene graph looks like. You have a camera, you have all the hierarchical structure of the whole geometry. A little side note, as I already mentioned, which Tickle open source projects I have contributed or written. One is the image extension I already mentioned for additional format passes. Then I have developed the TCL3D, which is a tickle wrapper for OpenGL and OpenSceneGraph. This I wrote to learn how can you combine tickle and OpenGL and OpenSceneGraph. Then there is a COM automation with tickle. That's a tool I developed because in our company, official documents all have to be in Word and Excel and Microsoft Office format, and I don't want it to write Visual Basic macros and stuff like this. So I built upon the TWAPI extension of Ashok and did this COM automation. And last is the build automation with tickle, which I developed to, especially for the Windows platform, to build all our third-party libraries we need. So here, what is Emit? Well, as projects in our company typically tend to exist for 10, 20, 30 years, it's important to support lots of different combinations, old systems, old operating systems, and old, let's say, libraries. And that's why I built this build automation with tickle. So we have a set of rules how to build these libraries. And it's, you can put it into the repository and have a clean situation of what is needed. Here is a little overview of all the libraries which are needed for Emit. These are some, lots of base libraries. Then all these simulation and graphic libraries like OpenSceneGraph, GeographicLib, and stuff like this. Then we need tools like CMake, Zwick, okay, and the TickleTK environment itself. I skip over this, continuous development and integration, because we are already short in time, but I started 5 minutes later. Just a note. So, and here we have an overview of where we are using all these tickle script to generate documentation for reports, for the user manual and stuff like this. Then also the whole set of testing or acceptance tests are also written as tickle scripts. So we have test input, it's a tickle script. The check criteria is just a tickle script. Then the evaluation of the tests is a tickle script. And then the final nice looking Word document where every configuration and quality manager is happy with is generated also with a tickle script. Now I come to the Emit Scene Editor, which is, let's say, main part of Emit, where you can interactively edit scenes and work with it. I will show you some videos. First, I thought I'd take my laptop with me and show the a live demo, but then somebody noticed to me that I would need an export license to bring it to a foreign country. So I just made some videos so you can get a little bit, get an impression of what we are doing with that. And here you see the graphical user interface. Here you have, I start the video. Can you, okay. In a minute, maybe I will let it run. Okay, you don't need to read. So you have here the 3D graphics window. The events of TK are sent to the OpenSceneGraph event loop. And oops, you have lots of, let's say, what I call roll-ups. So you can open and close these stuff. You can switch them or pull them out, so to select, if you close them, they go by, and here you have also, this is the side with for the scene, so you can add terrain, you can add dynamic players, you have grid display, which you can switch on, you have, let's say, these dials, which look like SGI dials. I that's code I found on the wiki. And you can also, let's say now I'm moving the camera with a mouse. You can move the camera with the dials, and you can also manually input coordinates. Then on the bottom side, you can see that the current position of the mouse is shown in the lower ones. You can't, okay, can't read them, but you can then switch to different coordinate system like lat long altitude or UTM coordinates. You have several notebooks where you can have a player overview and see how the temperature attribution has been done. And more or less everywhere you see the tablist widget inside of this stuff. And maybe I can show another one. Here is player management. So we open a roll-up from one of these players. You have here the list of waypoint coordinates. You can mark, see where the player are located. You can jump to a specific waypoint. So the player 01 moves. You can animate the scene. So now it moves at the correct speed. Then switch back. Then we have a roll-up for the distributed simulations, like Frank told. You need some force ID, it's called, whether it's a friendly target or an opposing. And then you need to know a so-called seven tuple, which shows an entity. So here again, we have the table list, and it's impressive. This is our more than 21,000 entries, color-coded, and it's up in a second. That's, thanks Java, good, good deal with the table list. And here you have filters where you can select which entities you want to select. And these are color-coded, the red ones. You don't have a 3D model with it, so it's just showing a default model. Yellow-coded are models where you have a generic 3D model, and if it would be a green line, you have a specific model of, let's say, Eurofighter or whatever entity type you have selected. Okay, I would have several other videos, so but I stop here now. Skip over these. Okay, random modes. We have replay functionality, which is also interesting because, let's say, if you render a scenario and switch on logging, the logging is not written as just plain text, but it's Tickle script, which is written, and you have a replay window where you can step by step, just by sourcing the log file, you can step by step loop through the replay and see what happened. Then we have the atmospheric and thermal calculations, and here we have the summary. So Emit is a real-time image generation with lots of features running on Linux and Windows, and it makes heavy use of TickleTK. We have a roughly complex user interface. All the C++ interfaces are wrapped with SWIC, and we have a continuous development and integration workflow, which is also based on TCL. Why not using Git and Jenkins? Okay, first of all is history. I started with that 15 years ago. In the other one, all this system has to run, build, test, and debug on standalone systems where you don't have access to internet, you don't are allowed to install too many tools and stuff like this. So here with Tickle you have few tools, clean and simple stuff. So that's from my side. So open to questions, just in time.
first name of Emit is extensible. How rapidly are you extending it these days?
Pardon?
How rapidly are you extending Emit because it's extensible?
Yeah, buzzword. because we develop it ourselves, so we can easily extend it with new features. It's not that it has a big plug and play or something like that, because this is only used internally and in our company, and two German official services are using it, but it's not a tool which we are selling commercially or so. So it's just in-house, and the extensible is that we write it on our own. It has a clean, let's say, software architecture where it's easy to extend and build a new feature, but it's not something like plug-and-play functionality.
What I understood is that it is for simulation purposes.
Yeah.
So how do you get the infrared information to the target? So how do you generate the infrared scene, and how do you get it then in the missile?
Yeah, that's depending on the, let's say, simulation mode. If we have just a software in the loop model where the missile model is just software, we render the image and the image is stored in memory, and the simulation model, the missile model, can have access to that. And for the hardware in the loop mode, I showed you the most extensive. Let's say here we render the emit image, and this is transferred via DVI interface to that infrared projector, which is more or less like, let's say, a sensor or a camera, but it has thousands of heating elements which can be cooled down and heated very fast. And this then is projected onto the real sensor. And we have an intermediate hardware in the loop mode where you have the rendered image, and this is directly injected into the image algorithm computer. So we don't use the sensor, but it's directly injected before the image processing starts.
It came from the camera.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Just a short question. What other TKD tools are you using? So, for example, TKD and E, do you use it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
then I forgot it, yeah.
And what else?
Yeah, we have, if I click here, we have the UCAS from Christian Gollwitzer for graph display, then table list everywhere, TDOM for reading XML files, so the sensor configuration and lots of other files are all XML-based. Mm. So we are using either TDOM or if they must be read from the simulation or the simulation core itself, then we are using Xerxes for reading the XML data. Yeah, that's it. Some tools I wrote, or widgets I wrote myself, like these roll-ups. And yeah, that's it, more or less.
Okay, thank you.
More questions?
What?
it's not entirely serious now. What does a hemp field, also hemp plantage?
I think it's no different. We didn't measure it, but it's I think no difference to any other plant. Okay.